Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefo Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
Yes. And we decided we needed to come back and revisit something. I'm going to taunt it a little bit. Just because there's so much controversy, and you know we love all of this stuff, and we love watching new shows. But yeah, the season of And Just Like That is a Max original, just finished. And by the way, this is not one of our sponsored content. This is just us coming back to it. But just finished up last week. So we decided we need to do a quick wrap up. And I say quick, and I'm not sure how quick it is. But definitely a revisit of this season. First and foremost, if you haven't watched it and are planning to or haven't finished it up and don't want any spoilers, put this on pause and then come back to us because we're going to go all into it. And so, yes, spoiler alert.
Ooh, that was a very serious spoiler alert.
Yeah, that was the moment they needed to stop. So hopefully they did.
That was your stern voice.
Yes, that's my nanny voice when I would be like, no. So we did a run through of the first two episodes, but here we are and we have a few things to talk about. And instead of trying to summarize the entire season, we're going to talk about this by characters and their journey in this new chapter. But before we begin, because we're going to go, and I feel like, Annie, you're like, what's happening? Because I'm like, we're going to do this. And you're like, okay, cool, because you're very patient with me. And I'm going to ask for what you would call their themes and all of that. But first, before we go into that,
okay,
what did you think about this show / this first season?
I'm like hesitant because I feel people have such strong opinions on either side. I enjoyed it. I think it had, you know, its ups and downs. Some things were uneven. Some things were awkward unintentionally. Some things were intentionally awkward. But overall, I did enjoy it. And it was interesting for me because, as we've discussed, I haven't seen most of the show before this. So I think that might be one of the reasons I was able to enjoy it more without being like,
Right. The diehard opinions are because they love the characters right. and their old ways. Mm-hmm. And so they can't see past that. And I get it. Because you build a character, you trust that character to be as permanent as you would hope and consistent. So yeah, I definitely get that. I am one of those old hats. Although, like, I was talking to a friend of mine who he was hilarious in telling me that he did not watch the entire seasons, all the episodes of Sex and the City, but he watched at least two of the movies. And I'm like, well, that's one more than I've watched right. at this point in time. So I feel like he has a better heads up in that realm. Uh-huh. But I did absolutely grow with these women. At one point, they were like 10 years older than me. And I was like, ooh, ah. And then it bypassed and I was like the same age. And now they're back to being at least 10 years older than me, if not a little more. So it felt very relevant. I feel like they gave it a little bit of a leeway for me, like a roadmap, I guess. Jess. I enjoyed the season. There were a lot of moments I had to fast forward because it was too cringe. And I probably shouldn't have, but I was like, nope, I can't. I can't. Why did this? And I forget they do this with all the things. So you haven't seen this episode yet, but in one of the episodes, it's so hard cringe that I almost die inside. We're going to see it, I believe, in season one.
Oh, so coming up.
Yeah, and you'll know pretty quickly. Oh, no. So, I'm just like, okay. But they have a good throwbacks and they call backs to it. So, all that to say. But this season, I know they did this on purpose because that's life. That's life when you really put yourself out there. There's so many cringe moments that you just want to hide under a rock. Or at least maybe make you feel better about yourself. I don't know, because at least you didn't do that. Whatever it is,
I feel like all it does is make me think of a thing that I think is somewhat related to that.
Or that. So yeah, let's get into it. And we're going to go ahead and start off with the biggest character, because she is kind of, I guess, the forefront. Carrie, of course, played by Sarah Jessica Parker. And by the way, I did notice that Sarah Jessica Parker was headlined as one of the main executive producers, but both Cynthia Nixon as well as Kristen Davis were both also executive producers as well. So they are definitely all kind of made their way up into it. Just an FYI. But what would you say Carrie's theme was in the season?
I think it was Carrie gets her groove back.
Yes. I would say moving beyond death, love after death.
That would be my serious way.
Love after death. I mean, it is, right?
She also figures out this whole podcasting thing, and
I'm gonna say figures out with the very heavy quote fingers on this, because I'm like, what? Anyway, in all of this, if you had to describe her year in five words, what would it be?
So this whole thing takes place over a year. I feel like it would be one of those inspirational paintings that I kind of roll my eyes at sometimes. Like, she lost, she lived, laughed.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. I love it.
Well, you gave me a weird limitation at this.
I did. And I was going to say, Carrie is single again.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Because that's kind of the whole trope of it. So let's get into her. After she lost big at the very beginning, now she's trying to navigate her life again. And she is really good. The one thing that you're going to find about Carrie is she is very neurotic. And a lot of it, especially when it came to big, it just came back to her. She just needed to trump people. It really irritated me towards season three or four, and I wanted to punch her in the throat. Even Stanford called her out. It was like, hey, this is not about you. It's about me. And she was like, I'm sorry, you're right. Which I think everybody was like, finally, my God, would you quit this? Same thing with Miranda. Each one of them had to call her out and be like, stop it. Even though you are the main character, you're not always the main character type of conversation. And yeah, we had this here again, even to the point that she always talks about winning. I noticed that a lot, whether it's, I had the worst breakups. My husband died. I had the saddest story. Like, she kept saying that throughout. And I do love Anthony's character, who's like, you get one more time with me on that. That was quite delightful. I do want to point out that, yes, they cut out the last Chris Noth scene, which was supposed to happen on the finale. But you hear his voice singing and that's it. To be big, but they definitely, after all the accusations, were like, yeah, we need to go ahead and cut it out, which is a smart decision.
Yeah. And I know that it's kind of a running joke, but the Peloton suffered a lot from this. And then that he was in their ad to like be like, no, he's fine. And then they pulled the ad.
And then
Peloton's killed somebody else in another show.
Succession, right? Another big show.
I think it's Billions. Spoiler alert. And then they like lost so much money and now I think they've been sold. So this show had a huge impact on Peloton. I do want to say too, one of the things that I think in the last episode that really stuck out to me, because we talked about how, you know, it opened with like grieving and it was very, I thought, an accurate portrayal of how grief can look. When the lamp kept coming on and she was like seeing this as a sign that Big was trying to communicate to her from the afterlife or something. I would do that too, like right after my dad died, even though I don't believe in any of that stuff.
Right.
But suddenly I was like, this must have meaning. It must. So yeah. Even though I don't believe in any of that stuff, that totally made sense to me that you suddenly are like, I don't know, maybe they're reaching out to me. What are they trying to tell me?
Right. She's not at all like supernatural, super like any of that, religious or any of that. And they all kind of talk about what happens after death to someone that you love. They do address that in that really pretty well, but are like, people change. This is what I need. This is what I need mm-hmm. right now. And I think I've said that a lot about religion. Like, that's not necessarily for me. But I remember how important my faith was at one point in time. And it helped me, carried me through some rough points of my life. Do I go back and credit my faith for that necessarily? No, it was just what I needed at that point. And I think it's unfair for anyone to try to take that away from somebody as long as mm-hmm. it's not harming others. And I'm not talking about people using religion against people. I'm just talking about having faith when it comes to death, when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to afterlife. There's so much to be said that we really have no right to take away from people. And I think she kind of addressed that. She's like, I didn't know. And now mm-hmm. I have this and I need something. Mm-hmm. And I always think about that too, because we talk about that about children and how do you address that with kids, especially if you're not religious, how do you go about that? And me coming from a one-sided world where everything was religious to this, and I'm like, oh, that would be a hard one to explain for so many. Again, yeah. I'm more like a deist than anything else. Like, I'm not completely non-spiritual. I don't know if I can ever really let that go, but there's a part of me that still believes in something bigger. Who mm-hmm. knows what that means? Does that mean karma? Does that mean whatever? But yeah, I think they do a good job in like having a small conversation and meaning a lot for people who are going through grief.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
By the way, the IMDb rating is like 5 out of 10. So people loved hated it. So there's that.
That feels about right.
So there was 10 episodes to this. And yeah, we talked about the first two because I was telling you, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I think someone's coming that you haven't met yet. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to meet till season one, or either at season one or season two. I can't remember. And that is his ex-wife. And you kind of already know they cheated together.
Carrie and Big cheated.
Cheated together while he was married to her. And it was like this whole thing about her being young and all these things. And then he gives money to her because he felt so guilty, which makes me wonder, because he cheated on all his other wives too. Did he give money to them? Did they just get just pushed out? Because she meets them too. Carrie meets the other ex-wife, BT Dubs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So but I did love bringing her back, Bridget's character, because I don't know if you know, in her real life, Bridget Monaghan was pregnant when Tom Brady left her for Giselle.
I did not, like, every single fact you just said, I did not know. So you were you were blowing my mind in multiple ways.
So there was so much to that I was like, what? This is real life for this woman. Mm-hmm. She was always the pretty girl that was the other in everything I've ever seen her in. And I feel so bad for that. I'm like, why is she always portrayed as this character, serendipity? She was the girl supposed to marry John Cusack, and then he leaves her for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All the other characters, you know, so it's just a lot of them. Like, she continues to be portrayed, this woman that gets left. And she typically is not the bad guy ever. And she happens to be the nicest person. There may be other shows that I have not seen, but these are the ones that I've seen of her. But then she went through this in real life. And who knows? Maybe they had already, like, broken up. But it was really suspect. Really suspect when he, like, all of a sudden, Giselle's on his arm and she's pregnant. And we're like, ooh. Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Good look. Yeah.
But yeah, so I was holding that one for you because I was like, I need to tell you these facts.
Wow.
Yeah. So I really feel like there were so many different things for Carrie's life. We have that. We have her, you know, facing her demons. We have her trying to figure out what, you know, if Big had the secret life. But we also have her writing a memoir. I thought that was super interesting.
I did too, and I appreciated the struggle with writing it and the struggle with the ending and it being too sad. It did kind of annoy me that they were like, go make your happy, like, find something to be hopeful about, because I'm like, if she's not there, then she's not there. You can still have a hopeful note of, I hope to one day, like, I have hope that she didn't have to actually go out and do it
on a date. I was just like, she could be on a site and look, end of story. Why do we need to push her to date? I just, that makes me so sad.
Yes.
It is so disrespectful on I'm just every tell you, level.
No. If I was ever asked for this show to, like, go date somebody, I would not do it.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Like, there's other things that are like, I get it, but come on. Like, we know people do gimmicky things, but this is too much. Like, we're talking about grief and you're like, go date. It's barely been a year.
She could have literally just tried to sit down and think about what her life, without even dating involved, maybe, how she hopes it will look. Like, she didn't have to go out and do... Don't ask somebody.
And that's the same conversation. I was like, why can't women just be single? Why is this push still? Your show's still pushing this narrative that to be happy, you have to be with someone. So you pushed her to date when she wasn't ready. That's really unfair in every way. What if she's fine after losing her husband, being alone? Why can't that just be?
Yeah. And I think, and we talked about it in our Widowhood Effect episode, a lot of women have said after their husband dies, in this very heteronormative sense, that they just don't want, like, they're not interested in pursuing anyone else. And that's fine. And it upsets me because my mom is kind of in the situation. I've had this conversation with her several times where it feels like to me she thinks she has to justify that she's alone and doesn't want to date anymore. Whereas I'm like, no, that's good. You sound happy. That's great.
Right. Be happy.
Yes.
Or, you know what? Be sad. If you can maintain and be sad and that's where you are, that's okay too. Mourning is not a bad thing.
Right. No, not at all. Nor is being alone. I think it is. I remember because you and I, when we did our original episode on the first two of this series, you had said, like, I'm hoping for Carrie, like, she finds that she doesn't have to have a man in her life. And I remember when she like went to physical therapy and she was like, that physical therapist is hot. I was like, oh no. Is this the one?
I mean, like, yeah, definitely. And speaking of physical therapy, going back to this. So I did see Big Life. I don't know how I felt about it. The hip surgery, which turned out to be just a normal thing and not necessarily her being old. And that's fine. I think that's so many people. I think all of us are accepting things that as being old when in actuality, hey, that can be fixed. So fix it. As well as the little facelift bit. Said a lot to society. And I did really like that they were like using her as the focal point for this because she is the more iconic one in that, like with her looks, her fashion, the, you know, all of this.
Yeah, I feel there were so many things on this show that I was torn about. And I think that's actually, that's not a bad thing necessarily because there are things when we talk about feminism I get torn about. But that was one where I was like, I don't think you need it, but if you really want it, like I was going back and forth.
Right.
I'm like, well, why do you want this thing? Is it just because this guy said that maybe this male doctor was like, we could do this? I don't know. I was very torn about it. And I have friends that have gotten cosmetic surgery. And I feel, yes, I have. And I feel it's the same where I'm like, it's your decision, it's your body.
Right. You do you.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to judge you for it. I'm just, I hate that we live in a world wherein people feel they have to do that. I think you can still do it and just want to do it. And that's totally cool. It's those societal pressures that mess me up.
Perpetuates that thing. And just by the way, it was Jonathan Groff who
That's right. I was trying to remember who it was. Yes.
Who we've seen in Matrix. And he's a Glee. And he's a Broadway musical person. Like Tony Award winning, I believe. Like, so he's fairly famous. So when I saw him on that, I was like, well, he's just popping up everywhere, isn't he? How adorable.
Yeah, he was the cosmetic surgeon. Yeah.
Yes. I also thought that that was wonderful in that they were talking about it. She never makes a decision. He does the whole 3D thing. And she does have that moment. It did look like her from, like, I don't know if they just took a picture and they're like, here, use this as the 3D model, quote unquote. But it's actually just a picture of you when you were in your 20s.
Yeah.
Early 30s. And it was quite interesting. I also found it interesting that he had a different perspective for the dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for her. Now, don't get me wrong, people age differently. People age and look differently. I think he's, I don't know if he was younger or not. Anthony came in season 3, so they're all around the same age and them talking about that. I did find that interesting, and I don't know if that was purposeful on the expectation and who is actually going to buy it. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I do. I think it's interesting, too. I mean, I could be reading way too deep into this, but I felt like it was a almost a meta nod of like, we could just do what the show had been where they looked like this, or we could not do that and try to do something different. So I thought that was interesting.
So yes, I did too. So I don't know if they're going to come back to it, talk about it, whatnot. Who knows? There was also the conversation about, again, dating. And we talked about this. And she finally does date towards the end of the episodes. I did find it funny that they got really drunk and just got sick. I've been there. Not necessarily sick with a date, but necessarily, but I had to drink. And that's a whole different conversation that we were like, why do we need to do this? This is like, yes, it could go bordering on alcoholism and self-worth and all of that. But I've definitely been like, I need a glass of champagne before I go and meet this dude. I need a shot of tequila before I meet this dude. Because I was so, so nervous. Mm-hmm. Of course, they were like, to get past this, we just need to be drunk. Mm-hmm. I did find relatable. I did feel sad for the dude because I really want this one perspective to stop happening in TVs. He asked to kiss her. She saw that and criticized it.
Yeah.
We need to stop that. As a society, hey, producers, hey, writers, stop it. Because not only do you perpetuate this whole narrative of manliness and alpha male and taking charge, you are taking away that voice of victims who are like, no, we need consent. So I was really angry about that. I hate that trope so much. And it happens so often. It happened in New Girl. It happened in so still today that I'm like, no, I get what you're saying to a point, but let's not highlight it because you also negate the fact that these relationships and this chemistry exists. And when you see it on screen as portrayed as this, that takes that whole narrative away. It's just like, oh, he just grabbed me. Because by the way, I've been kissed by a guy I didn't want to kiss. I turned my face and he thought I was just playing. And he kissed me again. And I was like, I'll never call you again because I tried to give you a sign. You didn't listen. And you kept going because you believe these narratives that girls are playing hard to get.
Yeah. And it adds to the kind of like right-wing news media being saying consent is taking all the romance out of a relationship, where that if somebody stops and checks in to make sure everything's cool, that that's not romantic. I happen to think that's extremely romantic.
I thought it was super sweet because he also was the one that went away from him and said, I can't do this right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, in my head, like even if, I feel like where they fell down is even if she didn't think it was romantic or sexy because she's still thinking about Big or they didn't have chemistry, whatever, I thought that was like, that was the only thing he could and should do. And especially after they've both been through this very traumatic things, like just checking in is a nice thing to do. It's what someone should do.
Right. Like I just, okay. Yeah. That's just anybody for, I know maybe we don't have many producers, big wigs out there, but if you are listening, please stop. Please stop. As a victim of sexual assault, as a victim of trauma and molestation, please stop.
Yeah.
Who can't figure out how to say it in my own words. Sometimes.
Right. Right, right, right. And I think that's, it's an important conversation even in, there have been times where I don't know. And when someone asks me, I kind of like panic, but that, I think the panic is part of the answer.
Like right. That means you don't want you don't even feel like you can say no.
Exactly. Exactly.
So hello, both of those things.
Yes.
But that's the thing is like, you say it's not romantic, but maybe, you know, the part of the thing is we still don't feel safe enough to say no.
Exactly. But if I've always appreciated, you know, when someone is like legitimately, honestly asking and clearly wants to know. And I think that's just very, very, I'd say sweet, but it should just be the norm. It feels very sweet.
Respecting boundaries
is sexy.
Be
the norm.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly. It shouldn't have to be, but it is because that is where we are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did find that interesting that she did decide to do this. The sites, I was like, okay, here we go. Let's go. They didn't really talk too much about what site she's on. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, I'm not going to lie. As a person in the past, I'm like, there are so many dating sites. Which one did you use the really fancy one that you had to be on a wait list for a year?
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting just to wonder about her. Being out and about on the dating sites because the show is just the original show is from such a different time frame, different period of dating. So that was interesting to see these kind of like modern updates to what dating looks like.
I would love to see Sam on Tinder.
Oh my gosh.
That is the show in itself. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, I feel like one of the biggest life changes that I've seen in this show would have to be Miranda. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about her for a minute. Do you have a 5-word description or just at least a theme for her? I want to do the 5-word one.
Okay. She has an awakening. She has like a journey where she's sort of opening her eyes to a lot of different issues. I don't want to describe it as a midlife crisis, but it's a midlife reevaluating.
Yeah. Maybe she's coming into herself. So there was a lot of controversy in this. It wasn't so much Carrie. It was a lot to do with Miranda, a lot to do with Che, a lot to do with Steve. And we're going to talk about all of those right now because I found it interesting. Of course, we know that Miranda decided to be a student. She left and her reasoning was after the Me Too March or the Women's March, after the election, she wanted to do something bigger. And by the way, she was a partner in a giant law firm making a lot of money. And we've seen her work her entire Sex and the City life. I'm going to leave it at that, to this point. And she was one of the ones who was like talking about not being ashamed for being a woman who makes money and is able to afford things on her own. And they're like, amen, you do you. Mm-hmm. So now we see her stop and she is now coming into becoming a student again. Really cringe moments with the professor, which literally comes into them being close friends and confidants to each other. I felt that weird. I know they were trying to bring in some more storylines with the professor, but still kind of odd. I do love that the narrative with that storyline was the professor didn't want to have children.
Yeah.
And going back and forth about what was best for her and marriage. By the way, that was also another storyline for Charlotte. So Charlotte had that storyline in which she wanted desperately to have children. The husband didn't care. And so we see the flip role. I did like that. I did like that narrative being what it was. It was really interesting to see the, and we'll talk about this later, I think, the dual characters, the new character with Charlotte, Lisa Todd Wexley, you know, the comparison of the two of them. And I don't know, like, if that was purposeful. I don't know what that looks like. I will say it did feel real off. Like, they were really trying to be relevant when it comes to Black women being part of the community and part of the conversation. They still felt like side characters, and they were still side characters, which was really interesting because Lisa was originally introduced as if she was going to be one of the four. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, that I don't know how, I don't know if this could have been an easy transition or not. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if Naya as well, she was never introduced as one of the new, you know, sets, but she has become her own plot line, her own storyline in it. And I think it was a good narrative, still unquestionable. And maybe it's just me being like, being overly aware of the situation and trying to really watch what's happening and wondering how many Black writers were in the writing room. And I'm sure I'm going to credit that they did have a few, but still, did they get their voices heard? That's a question I do have about the show. Same thing with the queer community. I know, obviously, the creator is a part of the queer community. Cynthia Nixon, obviously, is a queer woman. Mario Cantone, all of them. But, like, all of these things, like, how many writers came in? Did we try too hard? Because I'm not going to lie, the character of Che, who is a non-binary queer person, and they call themselves a narcissist, and they don't really put Miranda into the narrative as much as you think, even though they say that they're in love with her. So it's kind of like, okay, what? When they make the announcement they're moving to California, they do it in front of everyone without actually talking to them privately and leaving the next week. Like, it's just this really weird level of like, And also, I don't love that Miranda has to have the affair flippantly with a non-binary, polyamorous, like, very open person who kind of feeds into that whole unicorn or, like, that whole I'm going to steal your person trope. And I don't think they meant that on purpose, because we see later on that Che is very upset and doesn't want to be, they call themselves, they're like, I'm not going to be a homewrecker. That's not me. You need to figure it out. But at the beginning, this whole, like, it's kind of already a toxic view than that community, and I really hated that to be part of this conversation. I don't know. What did you think?
Again, I think I was very shielded from a lot of things because I didn't have to, like, I don't have yet all the seasons behind me. So I know people were really angry with this character. I would say I was definitely like, it's not great decisions. They also, like, leave the podcast kind of suddenly.
Yeah,
with everybody else, like, hey, goodbye.
Peace, homie.
I actually do get the whole superstitious, I'm not going to tell anyone first, but there's a certain point where you've got to, it does feel more like the fame and kind of excitement of career and all of the attention was more important to Che than the people in their life. I think I guess what I'm trying to say is I agree with most of the criticisms. I'm just not as mad about them.
right.
Yeah. And I think a part of that too is I haven't seen all of the years of Miranda with Steve. And I don't know if that would change anything or not, but I don't have, like, all this stuff already. You know what I mean? I did think that what you said about, like, there was, I thought that, and this, maybe this is my own prejudices, or maybe this was my own, like, them playing on what we all kind of been told. But I did think they were building up to Che was going to be in multiple relationships, and Miranda kind of broke everything off, not realizing that. And then she would have to come to terms with whether she's okay with that or not. It was kind of leading up to that, or that Che was cheating on Miranda.
Right.
I don't know. So like some level. So I didn't really appreciate that, even though I get, because she, in the end, they weren't, as far as we know, cheating or trying to cheat.
No, they said that Miranda was the only one they were sleeping with. So they did make that right. point.
Right. So like, I guess it just sort of, it did make me a little, I get we're playing into these tropes because they're tropes and we're kind of flipping them, but we're right. still playing into them.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
So back to Steve. That was a big thing. So You haven't seen all of this yet, but it was, as Steve said, he broke up with her because he felt like he wasn't enough. And then they got back together. And then she broke up with him because he wasn't enough. Like, he wasn't getting his life together. And then they had a child together because they had pity sex, essentially. And then it came to, oh, we do love each other. Let's do this. So it was this whole build up. So that's the awkward part. It's like, yeah, okay. It's one thing if you got stuck in a marriage way back when and you just felt stuck. But it was this whole back and forth. And Miranda's never been tied down. They were going to have the baby. They had the baby outside of marriage. They weren't in a relationship. She was dating someone completely different. Okay, end of story. So it kind of was like, all right, you built this up to be him being the love of her life. Again, and then uninhibited as an adult, really not caring about sexuality, not caring about any of that. As in fact, we saw the episode where she says, yep, not gay, when she tries to kiss a woman. That would have helped her career. So it was kind of all of these things that I'm like, okay, these don't lay out. Have watching just that. And but again, you can be madly in love with someone, but things change. Yeah. And I think that's the one thing that they did do well enough that people are still angry about, is that Miranda doesn't say she's a lesbian. She never says I'm out. She never says she's queer. She says, I love Che. End of story. They make me feel completely different and completely new, which could be a whole different thing of like, well, this could be a crisis in itself. But that doesn't mean you're not unhappy and maybe things do need to change. Because as you say, like, things have changed and you're in a stalemate and you want something different than what he wants in the story. I didn't love the whole Steve saying that he's not going to find anyone else. I wanted him to find someone else because he is an endearingly sweet man. Don't get me wrong. He cheats on her at one point. Ooh. That's another conversation. So all of that to say is like there's this back and forth on that as well. Mm-hmm. So Steve got played dirty. I did like that he finally got to tell her everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like there should have been a little more turmoil in a life that built so hard. And for him, it was obviously more so than her. Maybe they're saving it up for the next season if it gets renewed. Who knows? But there was a lot of conversation and a lot of anger about that. And I get that because of all the guys on there, Steve and Harry are the ones that you want to root for.
Yeah, it's really interesting for me because I am a firm believer that it totally, totally sucks. But sometimes people just don't feel the same way about each other. And that sucks because you want people to be happy. Like you want them. If someone loves you, and I've been in this relationship, someone loves you and you don't love them back, and maybe you want to love them back, and maybe you try to convince yourself you love them back. But sometimes you don't, and that's sad because you might like each other. You might even like really care about each other. It's just not the same. Right. And I get why people are pissed about that because it sucks.
It does. It hurts. But it's also real. Like I get what they're saying when they see the character and they're like, you built this character up to be this. And they did. They did. Yes. And then they significantly changed it. But that also does happen. That does happen. Another big criticism in the show was her alcoholism. And it was really interesting. I will say.
We called so much of this, Samantha. We called so much of this in our first, like what we thought would happen. We nailed it.
So yes, please talk about this.
Yeah, so at the very first few episodes, Samantha and I were like, huh, I wonder, they kind of seem to be hinting that Miranda is an alcoholic. But it was in a way where I'm like, maybe she's just stressed and they're trying to say she's stressed, which I'm not saying, like alcoholism and stress, very related. But then I think the episode where Charlotte opened the bag and there were all those like small bottles of vodka. Yeah. I was like, oh boy. So it was a kind of shocking reveal because basically Che and Miranda had sex in Carrie's kitchen while Carrie had just was recovering from surgery. So your mind was kind of like on that.
Right.
And Miranda was high and drunk at the time. So I guess like in my head, that was the big focus. And then at the end, Miranda realizes she'd been drunk ordering books on how to quit drinking, or at least one book on how to quit drinking as a woman. Which, by the way, I thought was how to quit your job as a woman. I totally misinterpreted that. But anyway, so she like pours out all the alcohol and says, you know what? She told Carrie, if I have a problem, you know I can stop. So she pours out all of her alcohol in her house. And then it's shown on several occasions after that that she's drinking and non-alcoholic. Oh, they kind of mention like, oh, yeah. But yeah, she just kind of like up and quits, which
it's
is
amazing.
Hard. Right. Hard to do.
So I did like no one talks about it. No one looks at it. No one talks about her going to AA. Nothing.
Right.
It literally is she accuses her friend of sending her a book about alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
Having sex in the kitchen and not helping her friend who she is there for. Which, by the way, some people have said, and you haven't seen this episode yet. I'm so sorry. In which Miranda throws her back out. Is lying on the floor of a bathroom naked because she can't get up, calls Carrie for help. Carrie sends boyfriend who sees her completely naked.
Aww.
And so they're like, this is revenge.
Okay.
From Miranda to Carrie for this, which I did find funny. That was a tweet that I was like, yep, that might be right. Super awkward. Again, it was really kind of like, okay, come on, guys. This is that tropey bit of like, hey, why? Why? Because I don't think Che... whatever. Romance happens, sure, but whatever. Okay, very tropey sex scene. I felt like it was really like unnecessary sex scene. Of course, they like to make things cringy and as awkward as possible, so this is how they push the narrative. Felt very tropey, didn't love it. But I will say, so that began her like, oh my God, I am drinking too much. I essentially had my friend, you know, pee on herself because I didn't hear her ask for help after a hip surgery when I swore I would be there for her. Mm-hmm. And by the way, yeah, I feel like Carrie's characters are really Judgy McJudgerson in comparison to, but I guess this is one of those moments like, hey, you have a husband. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. So all of that breaks down to, okay, and her coming to making herself a nice little drink and then realizing she sent her book to herself and she just didn't know this. And she was so drunk that that's her wake-up call. It's like, that was the wake-up? That was...
Right.
That was the wake-up call?
Right.
Okay. Right. still, whatever, I guess. And then all of a sudden she's drinking alcohol-free wine and everybody's like, yay, congratulations. No more conversation.
right. Like I said, when that first came out, there was a lot of the show has been mixed reactions all around. But when that first came out, I saw some people saying, no, I'm glad they're talking about it. We need to talk about it because especially after we did that like pandemic one, which Miranda even says, like women with children started drinking more. And so a lot of mothers were saying, oh my God, I relate to this. But then it was kind of like, yeah, like, all right. That's done. We checked that box. She's drinking this non-alcoholic stuff now. So that one's good. I guess it's interesting they addressed it, but they didn't really
address it.
Maybe, I mean, yeah, they kind of did the bare minimum and maybe that would have been a different show. I don't know, but it's not, it's definitely not easy. Although there were six months between some of the episodes. I can't remember where that fell. But
yeah, I mean, it may have been a big time jump, but still they didn't talk about it. They didn't talk about what she did, how she stopped or, you know, any of that. That's kind of like,
right.
Did we just glaze over a really hot top? Okay. Mm-hmm. But Miranda leaving for California with Che, which by the way, kind of happened at the cliffhanger of one of the seasons. For Carrie leaving for Paris. Mm. And Miranda's the one that objects to her moving pretty harshly, saying to the point, you know, you're leaving your life for a man.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is like, where do we see this? Not that we don't want her to be happy, but she's giving up this huge internship, apparently, that is really hard to get.
Yeah.
That Naya, her professor, went out on a limb for her, changing her life to go for a pilot.
Right.
For a show that was compared to Roseanne.
Right. And, you know, nothing against pilots, but like a lot of them don't get picked up.
Right.
Yeah, that was another thing I was torn about. It was kind of akin to the facial, like the facelift, where I'm like, yes, I want you to go be happy and you can pursue love and that's great. But also, you have this like job opportunity, this really good job opportunity. I don't know why, if it's only a couple of months and I don't want to diminish their relationship, but they haven't known each other super long, why they can't like do it virtually at least for a few months and then see if Che's still out there, then you can move.
I don't know. Like there's a lot to be like, okay, we get being spontaneous, but maybe this is building up to having the crisis and seeing that, who knows. Mm-hmm. But we come back round to Charlotte. Charlotte is probably the most stable and the most like her character still, I feel like. Eh, I guess not. I mean, Carrie too, because Carrie has that whole like going back and forth with her love life, loss of love, all this thing. But Charlie and Harry are going down a different route with their children. What did you think about all that?
I thought it was very interesting. There were definitely some tropey stuff they did that I was like, I don't know if you should do that. But it was... I like that they addressed it, I guess. And it was funny. It made me laugh when TikTok came up. And that's how Charlotte's non-binary child announced they were non-binary and they were going by the name Brock. Like, this was news to Charlotte. That kind of made me laugh. I appreciated that. It was interesting, I guess, to see Charlotte trying to navigate all this stuff as a mother. And it's clear to me that motherhood is very important to her, but also is this kind of like outside appearance of what her family looks like. But it did feel like she genuinely was clumsily or not trying to learn and listen and do the best that she could.
Right.
The bay mitzvah at the end cracked me up.
Right. That was so cringy. I had to move on. That was one of those cringy moments. I'm like, nope, I can't. Absolutely not. Yeah, I found it interesting that she was so aware of everything and so delicate to everything, but her last straw was the tampons.
Right.
Like, she lost it over that. I'm like, wait. You're going to be okay with the fact that you just threw thousands of dollars for this party for your girl to become a part of, like, a ethnic custom for her family that she has poured herself into, but she's not okay with her, the girl, freaking out about losing a tampon in her vagina. What?
I felt like that, I don't know if they meant to do this, the writers, but I felt like it was a, you know, building of, oh my God, I have all this stress, but also she's on her period. Like, because I don't know, people don't know, but the big reveal, Charlotte thought she'd been through menopause, was not going to have a period again.
Where's
she was
all
wearing
white?
These like white overalls, was trying to tell her daughter Lily, like, figure this tampon. Like, she was very patient for a long time, but then she finally reached in and was like, you got to figure this out by yourself. Kind of storms away. And as she is bleeding once again. So I don't know. I'm not really sure what they were trying to, if it was like just a very stressful thing or if it was supposed to be like a commentary on her period emotions, in quotes.
I mean, menopause and all that, and her being smug, it was very much to her character. It was interesting. Again, like all of those things that I'm like, was that okay? That wasn't necessarily okay, cool. Whatever. Yeah, like I like that they have a trans rabbi and they were trying to do all these different things and then having this conversation. Then the character of Anthony being like coming in, handling things for everyone, which he did kind of replace Stanford because of the death. And by the way, so I was very upset about the way they handled, I think that was one of my biggest upsets, is the way they handled Stanford in the series. And I did read an interview with Michael Patrick King that the reason they did that was because they couldn't do it. They could not write about him. They did not have the heart or the mental capacity or emotional capacity to write about him. So they did something really flippant and just pushed it to the back burner because they did not have time to process him more. So that explains a lot more to me. But I really did not love Stanford being dismissed as this dude having a midlife crisis and left everyone. Mm-hmm. He's never been that self-righteous in any way. Like, so I felt like that was a whole different conversation between the two of them. I thought Anthony would have been the one that would have left Stanford and be like, I'm done with this. Because he was very judgmental of Stanford from the jump. So I was very upset about that. Like, Stanford was one of the most endearing characters who really loved and doted on everyone. A little bit of jealousy, a friendship jealousy, yes, but not anything outside of that. But understanding that they were so heartbroken after his death, they just couldn't even address it. That made a lot more sense to me. So I did appreciate that they were very forthcoming. And that made me, like, appreciate what they were doing as much as they could with that. But I do feel like we were lacking a little bit. But the character of Anthony tried to pick up some of that with a very heavy-handedness to it.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's a few other things I didn't want to talk about. Again, like, I don't know if Lisa Wexley's character was intended to become the new Samantha or not, or just be the secondary character for Charlotte. Again, I know that they were trying, but I don't feel like marginalized people were as represented as well as they could have. I don't know if they could have, or if they just really tried and tried to add too much and became too tropey because they were doing too much. I don't know. I think that's something that's like, if I had to grade it, I would grade it a C for that. If I had to grade for like life experiences, I would grade it a B. I think absolutely like A minus B plus, because I think it does hit to that. And that includes the relationship with Sam and them communicating again. Like, it does, it's a slow build when you fall off. And whatever may be the reason of it falling off. Again, I was trying to explain to someone recently. I was like, yeah, I lost the best friend. We were close. And all of a sudden, within a year, we stopped talking completely. Like, no birthdays, no nothing. I thought everything was okay. Sent her a text. I got ignored. And I was told pretty much to leave her alone. I was like, what just happened? I don't know what happened. But okay, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And she was my best friend through college, through high school, through middle school. So yeah. It just broke apart like that. And then I saw some things that she posted on Facebook and I was like, oh, hell no, we can't be friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like stuff like that. So things like that, it's kind of like, it happens. I know people were like, this isn't that way. And people probably were more sensitive because it did feel like we were only seeing Sarah Jessica Parker's perspective and we could not pull that apart.
Right.
Necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they did. Like, everything Sam did, everything that Sam's response, even though it was very, like, minimal, was really respectful to Sam's character and seemingly on point.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard because you're always kind of questioning the real life aspect of this. But in terms of the fictional series, which I get is very hard to split apart in your mind and sometimes should be hard, in my opinions. But I did like that. It was clearly, it was that slow build and it was difficult. Like, it wasn't just going to be fixed. But I kind of liked that it ended with Carrie dumping Big's ashes and then contacting Sam and Sam being like, yeah, let's meet. Right. It felt like she's like, you know, losing this person, but then kind of regaining, hopefully. Or at least, you know, some kind of closure, perhaps.
Yeah, she's never coming back on the show.
No. But
we know that pretty clearly. Which, by the way, is it legal to dump ashes?
Oh, I know a lot about like this. That? We can't go into this right now, but no, not really.
I don't think so. That was in the back of my head the entire time. I was like, first of all, that's public. Why? Mm-hmm. And that's very public. Why?
And she was in that dress that's like...
Yes. And I get it's supposed to be romantic and all of that, but I'm like, maybe do like small... A small little handful.
Yeah.
This seems really illegal.
If people don't know, you can't just do that generally.
Okay. I'm sorry to kill that moment. The entire time I was watching that, I was like, wait, is that even legal?
In some places it kind of is, but generally you should at least check. I had a friend I went through this with a couple years back. There's more rules around it than you might think. Or perhaps you probably already know.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing that I was like, the podcasting bit. We had to talk. We have to talk about it. I'm like, there's so many moments of them like trying to do live. Y'all, we are edited like nobody's business. When it comes to me and my many mistakes, the amount of splicing that happens with me, and the fact that, I think I've talked about this, our old producer, Andrew, sent me like a little outtake of how many times I would just be like cursing because I could not say a word and going blah, 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 the entire time to reset to say a sentence or a phrase or whatever I'm trying to make a point in. So this whole like narrative that they are sitting there, they're radio hosts. It's not podcasting. I'm very confused.
Yeah. And we were talking about this, and I know we've discussed it in past episodes because it has been kind of a thrill to see podcasting in in popular media and get to finally be like, no, no, that's not what it's like. I feel like personally that is a radio show that they're doing. But I know we have shows on the network that do that. So it is possible. It is a thing. It just feels to me very different from what most of podcasting looks like.
Right. Well, when they have to sit there and just sit there and stare at her and then awkwardly make up for her, I'm like, you could just cut that and start that over again. Like, you...
Right.
That didn't need to be that dramatic. Like, sure, it could be awkward in real life, but it wasn't that dramatic as if, like, you had to rescue her on a radio series. And also, can we talk about the fact that after all of that, her not ready to date, her awkward dating, she then makes out with her producer. And y'all, here's what I gotta say. Don't where you eat. And I know that's gonna be bleeped out. But the thing, like, that's been one of my number one rules is, like, I will not date within someone that I am going to have close proximity with, mm-hmm. and making it awkward for everyone else. But, like, I was just like, girl, you just started a new podcast and you're going to make out with him?
Yeah. So essentially it ends with...
I guess it's the hopeful bit, right?
Carrie. Yeah, it's finally the hopeful bit. It's kind of like implied maybe she would go for this teacher guy, but then they had that bad kiss. And then anyway, it ends with Carrie starting her own podcast, which seems to be a call-in show, sort of like her column used to be. And she kisses her podcast producer. And I knew, like, when it happened, I was like, oh.
Yeah, the buildup of them, like, staring longingly at each other at the wedding of her other co-host, Bobby Lee's character, where they get married, which is really cute, by the way. Her outfit mm-hmm. was phenomenal. The
yes.
girlfriends, oh my God, I loved mm-hmm. it. But I was just like, no, don't do this. Why would you put this in a workplace proximity? Don't do this. And they
yeah.
did it.
To me, it felt like, I mean, not only that, but because there had been no previous...
They barely talked.
Yeah, there'd been, as the audience, at the very least, we had not seen any kind of, we hadn't seen their relationship build. Like, maybe there was a hint at the very last thing they said before she started her podcast, but there wasn't anything to build up to it. So it was just like, it felt to me like they were like, see, she's happy. She's with a man. All is good. And I'm like, she'd
right.
be happy with a man. It could have been fine. And now you're just kind of shoving him into this position.
Why can't you just let her be alone and be happy?
Right. I think it would have been very powerful if she's just having these meaningful calls on this mysterious podcast of hers with people and feels good and, like, that she can help people in that way. And she's feeling more confident in her work. And then maybe she finds somebody. Yeah.
Let's put it in this term. Let's have it where the ending is Seema, which we did not talk about, who is, I believe, an Indian character, Dwala, that whole thing. I was like, yes, I want to go to there too. They have a whole conversation about cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation, which mm-hmm. I think is important too. Very, like, glazed over, move on. It's Carrie. Who knows?
Yeah.
She is a phenomenal character who I think do exist. There's so many people that we know that have been and still seeking for love. And that's not a bad thing either, as long as you're not miserable or doing things that are unhealthy to try to find that mm-hmm. love. It's okay. That's fine too. If that's who you are and that's what you want, that's a beautiful thing as well. And so I think that character is believable. I do like her calling out Carrie, who's like, you're being insensitive. And Carrie, and she's like, you're being insensitive to me.
Right.
You've had love, you know, how dare,
right.
you know, like all of these things that I do like that perspective where they call each other out. She's a phenomenal new character. Don't love that she smokes, but you know, people smoke. We know mm-hmm. this. She finds the dude who's a club owner. That's a whole different conversation in itself. But in my ending, yes, instead of her making out with a producer that she's working with, she should have been in her new apartment or in her apartment, just chilling and feeling relaxed and comfortable, being whole in a
yeah.
new place. That would have been just as good.
Yeah. And we didn't, I mean, clearly we had a lot to say and we didn't even talk about how she kind of moves into her old place.
Yes.
And that whole...
And the younger girl.
Yes.
The neighbor.
Yes.
Ugh, being old and being the witch calling. I like how she lies. That wasn't me. I wasn't asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that would have been a good... And I was kind of hoping it was going to lean that way when it sort of felt like she's reconnecting with Samantha, like the women in her life having those strong, like it would focus on that. And it's not like this was a super strong focus, but it was just kind of like, it didn't need to be there. That's what I felt like. It totally didn't need to be there. Right. And now I'm like, wait a minute. Your podcast is doomed.
The podcast is doomed now.
Yes. And I also love, like, we've got to stop talking about this, Samantha. But I did want to mention, I did love Miranda and Naya when Naya asked Miranda about regret. Of being a mother or not being a mother. And I really liked that conversation where she's like, it's almost like you're going to regret it no matter what, but you're also going to love it no matter what. Like, I don't know.
Right. I think that was a great conversation too, like talking about being a mother, because essentially Miranda was not intending to be a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like, I think, you know, there was a lot of things that I appreciate they addressed, and some of them they, you know, this growing pains and they didn't do super well, and some of them they did really well. But I feel like I'm glad they're trying, and I hope that they get better. But there are clearly a lot of conversation is sparked, and that's one thing I will say about the show is it gets people talking about these things.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think that we should have more of these conversations and we should be able to critique it and have criticisms of it and hopefully make it better. And if they do have a season two, hopefully we'll see it and make it better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, listeners, we've gotten so many great letters from you all about like which character you'd be or your favorite episodes or why you love the show, why you don't like the show. So please keep those coming. You can email us at stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram @StuffI've Never Told You. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina.
The best.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I've Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.